listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Watt Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Andy Shaw available to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show will be 323-203-0815. If you get no pickup, just call back. It means somebody else is on the phone with us live. So just keep calling back, and when it gets picked up, you'll be on the air. And I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, the Watt Institute. The Watt Institute, it currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to the basic communication skills using the technique of Watt training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. I myself have a drop-in ladies group on Mondays and Thursdays. My Monday group is at 4 Pacific Standard Time, and Thursday is at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. It's a $10 donation each time you attend the group, and I help ladies with their online dating profiles, help them navigate online dating. I teach them communication tools while they're dating and how to stay feminine while they're out on dates. And I have a lot of women that have been with me for probably about 8 or 9 months that are now looking for engagement rings. So I'm very happy, and they've stuck with me weekly. So if you want information on that, just send me an email at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com. And then we also have Andy. He's available for private counseling. And we have Patricia Eltidge, who will be back next week. She does life scripts. She does dream interpretation, and she does couples counseling along with private sessions as well. So if you want to contact me at the office and let me know what you want help with, I will guide you to the best facilitator that I think you would do best with. So tonight we have Andy Shaw, you're on. And let me just give out the number again for if you just joined us. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, if there's no pickup, just wait and call back a couple minutes later. It means somebody's on the air ahead of you. Andy, are you available?
Hello, yes, I am.
Yeah, and Andy, just to let you know, he's been with Dr. Allen for many years. He used to be the one that helped me when Dr. Allen did her LA seminars up at the Marriott and also the Westwood Playhouse. He helped me run the show with Dr. Allen. I was at the front desk, and he did a lot of the technical, and at the Orange County at the Costa Mesa Community Center. So I'm sure you've met Andy somewhere if you attended one of Dr. Allen's seminars. So, and he did a lot of Dr. Allen's classes because he wanted to grow in his own relationship, at which he did learn a lot. Did you, Andy?
I learned. It didn't work out, but I learned.
Well, you learned, yeah. You learned a lot of good communication tools, and he is great. A lot of the ladies out there wanted me to have Andy because he's a man, and they can get a man's perspective. So he's on every other week. So, and we also do, you know, please, if you're a man, don't feel like we're not going to give you the same information. Please feel free to give us a call. If you're not able to call us live, you can always email me your questions and we'll answer them on the show. And then you can listen to the archives for the answers. So with that, the number is 323-203-0815. So Andy, you want to tell us a little bit, any information with you, or we'll go to a couple of questions I'll ask you.
Well, just real brief, I started with Pat in June of 2013 after my own trials and tribulations with my relationship, and asked the question, what's wrong with me? And one of those answers. And Dr. Pat helped me get those answers and do some, you know, inward looking and try and change myself. And I think overall worked out really well. I'm much happier and much less emotional, and you know, not as upset about things. So it's really good. So, what were the questions?
Let me see. I have my ladies groups and a lot. I just like to give up man's a lot of the women. Let's see. A lot of the women, they're always afraid of mothering men because they're used to being in their masculine. Most women that come to Dr. Allen are in their masculine and wonder why they get wimpy little men that take advantage of them because the two energies complement. So if you operate out of your masculine, you will attract a feminine man. So hopefully at the One Institute, we'll teach you how to incorporate being feminine to attract a masculine man. But if you want to be masculine to attract a feminine man, that's okay as well. How most of the women talk about when they're when a man is complaining and whining, they want to go in and fix them. From a man's point of view, when you hear women going, well, maybe if you do this and maybe if you do that, mothering you, do you like that information or do you, you know, not want to hear them with their suggestions? Give me your point of view.
Suggestions if they ask.
Okay.
I'm very much not into people telling me how to live my life.
Okay.
They ask how I'm doing. I'm sharing my life, and I'm not asking for anything to fix. I'm not asking for advice. I'm not asking for anything other than an ear.
So let's see their boyfriend working really hard, and he's got a mediocre job, and they know he could do better. So they want to go in there and give him the suggestions on how to have a better job. What would the tools be, and what not to do, and what way to do it to be more productive into helping your man?
Well, we got the amigo talk, right?
Okay, yes.
I'm going to bring that up here.
Okay.
Yeah, amigo talk is making an appointment and seeing when is a convenient time. I'm pulling the exact verbiage up here in just a moment. But I'm sure, Sue, you have it off the top of your head.
I'll pull out my chart. And if you want to know, on our website, www.drpatallen.com, we do have a free live streaming link of Dr. Allen teaching chemistry, compatibility, and communication. And she's going over all these tools, communication tools. And you can use them in relationships, at work, with family, all kinds of situations. Let's see, the amigo talk.
I have it here if I'm going to say it.
Okay. I'm still looking for it. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, here it is. Okay. I've got it. So, yeah.
Go for it.
Okay. So, okay. Well, I'm asking you the question. So, yeah, I'm not you. You're a man, and these women want to come in. So, what would be the good way a woman can transfer that she wants her man, has an idea or suggestion, rather than going in there and giving that? How she can motivate or help her man with any, you know.
Well, let's clarify. Because a man can have a penis or vagina.
Yes.
So let's talk yang energy.
Okay. She's being in her yang, and he's in his yang, but she wants to trump his yang by telling him how to do it differently. Maybe his job, you know, he's got this job and maybe he's happy with it, but she wants to, for the sake of him being a better man, she wants to push him to be a better man. So she's got an idea. Hey, you should go do this. And I know a guy that does that, and this would do good for you. She wants to tell him how to be a better man, you might say.
Right. So, okay. So let's talk real briefly about what men and women have, the yin and yang energy person has a right to do no matter what.
Yes.
The yin energy person has a right to bitch, moan, and then teach, preach, and question. But bitch and moan come first. The yang energy, because, you know, we always do this, right, is teach and preach and then bitch, moan, and question.
Yeah.
So when you're going into the yang mode where you want to teach and preach.
And just the yang mode is the masculine mode, in case the people can't follow. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a switching roles.
Okay.
Now all of a sudden we're at work, you know, in our mode. And under amigo talk, under this communication manual, there's two steps. Get permission to want, teach, preach, question about whatever, the career progression, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then ask the second question, when is it convenient to hear me out today?
Mm-hmm.
And then let them answer. If they don't want to hear you and they say never, then that's the answer.
That is. Okay, let me say, if I'm going to be the feminine role, I'm the yang, but I'm going into my yang, and you can demonstrate you being the yang. Andy, there's something I want to talk to you about regarding maybe your career move. Is this a good time?
Yes.
You know, you have a wonderful job, I understand, and it pays you minimum enough to pay your bills. However, there's a lot of these other opportunities that I see. Are you interested in maybe checking out? I'd be happy to do some research and help you if you're interested in maybe pursuing something like that. What do you think?
So now I'm completely open. I'd say, yeah, tell me whatever you want to tell me.
Okay.
I know what you have to say.
Okay, that is a good way to say it. Okay, now here would be the bad example to say it.
I don't want to hear anything you have to say. I've got it under control.
Okay, and then at that time, the woman would say, oh, okay, well, if there's you know, anything I can do or thing, just let me know. You thank him for his time, and then you say, if he wants to bring it back up again, you're over here willing to talk about it. So a lot of times the women, they know that they can help the man, so they feel it's their job to go in there and rescue him, which is the worst thing to do. So these tools are important that you don't storm over and take over him. And it's called mothering, because he had a mother that told him how to do when he was younger, and he wants to get far away from that now. So when you start doing that, he starts to see you as his mother, and he starts to, you know, a lot of times they do the passive aggressive, wouldn't you say, Andy? Or what's the danger of women that mother their masculine men?
It turns us off.
Yeah. Which will eventually push them away.
Yeah, I tell women, I have a mother, you're not it. If you want to keep this going, you should stop right now.
Okay.
If you don't, then
have you ever had to do that to women? Let me ask you, have you ever had to do that to women?
Yes.
Okay. Was it a romantic or a friendship type woman?
I've had both. I had one, matter of fact, yesterday.
Oh, okay. And give us an example. Because you, was it at work? Because you're both masculine at work. Yeah.
Well, this is a personal phone call. Person, actually.
Okay.
And I was getting advice that I did not ask for and did not want.
Okay.
And I was listening for a while, and they kept on going, and I asked her to stop, and I eventually just said, you know what? I'm advised out. I got to go eat. Have a good night.
But when you asked her to stop, how did you do the stroke and stand?
Or how I did.
Okay.
But the longer it progressed, the more angrier it became.
Uh-huh.
Especially after I asked her to stop.
Okay. And then she kept going?
Yes.
Did she apologize or anything, or was there any, or did it end where it was a win-win, or did it end kind of somebody felt like they were rejected and you weren't heard?
I tried to make it as respectful as possible.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the other person felt.
You can't tell how they felt. Yeah.
But I do what I can to keep the friendship.
Okay.
This isn't like the first time or even 17th time. It's multiple times.
Didn't you have a friend that you were helping? How's her progress going?
I have a couple of them. One of them was being loved out loud, according to her.
She was being what? I didn't hear that.
Loved out loud.
And what does that mean?
Bringing food to her work, flowers in her door handle. Like, just very public displays of affection, and she's enjoying her. What's that?
And she didn't like it? He was showing his love to her, and she didn't like it?
Oh, no, she's, this one, it's a new relationship.
Okay.
So this one's fine.
Okay.
And then for the last relationship, it ended, because we're, you know, the whole thing of people not talking, and okay. I asked him this, and him responded, And my answer is always they did respond, because every response that's not a yes is a no.
Yes.
And once you know that, then you can say, I'm going to insert the blank for you. You're not answering. You don't want to go. Okay, no problem. And that kind of ends the cycle. But getting it to end the cycle, I think, is very important to just know that the passive-aggressive people don't often talk.
Yes. That's true. They avoid you, and then it drives you crazy, and then you're the nutty one, and they sit there and go, I don't know why she's mad at me.
Yeah, like my ex would never say no. She'd just say nothing.
And asking her because you got – did you stop asking her eventually?
Well, now I just tell her I'm not asking you because you won't know.
Andy, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air with Andy and Sue. Do you have a question for us?
Hi, Sue. Yes, question and an update. So I've called a few times.
I remember your voice. Okay.
Yeah. So I was in the middle of negotiating with my boyfriend for a promise ring.
Okay.
And ultimately, we ended up negotiating for an engagement ring instead because he was comfortable with a promise ring.
Okay.
So we worked out for an engagement ring by February of the coming year.
So in 2026?
2026, that's right.
Okay. He said he will consider engagement on 20. And are you okay with that?
What I told him was that we have to be engaged by the end of the year.
Okay.
And he countered by saying that he wanted it to be a surprise, so it can be end of the year plus or minus 2 months.
Okay.
Okay.
So when you said, I want it, you didn't say, I want it. Is that how you communicated? Because I want you to talk from your feelings what you would be comfortable. Did you tell him you'd be comfortable?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, stroke and stand. You know, that sounds.
I wouldn't be. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I used to stroke and stand. So I made an appointment before we talked. And then I let him know that I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Right. Okay.
Within the relationship. And we weren't intimate. We aren't intimate yet.
Okay. So
I told him that it's the end of the year for my level of comfort. And if we can't negotiate on this at all, then I will be leaving.
And what did he say? And then he came back with that he wants it to be a surprise. Okay.
Yes. So ultimately, I actually thought he was going to say no, and that was going to be the end of it. And I think he came back around after almost 2 months.
Yes, that's the 8 weeks.
I was actually surprised. I thought he was going to say that he was too uncomfortable with it, because he was really uncomfortable with the idea of a promise ring. And so, like, kind of thinking that maybe he doesn't want marriage in his future after all. But he surprised me and said, okay. And I asked him if he would be willing to have, if it would be possible for me to pick, to help, to be involved as part of the ring picking process, so that I know that he's working on it at the end of the year.
Okay.
And he agreed.
Perfect. So how do you feel about all this?
I feel good about it. The only thing is, although we have agreed, one of the reasons why he didn't want to be engaged soon was because I haven't met his family.
Oh, okay.
Anything like that. And he said, well, now I feel like I have to rush the meetings and introducing you and everything. And I've never introduced the partner to my family before.
Well, that's not your problem, dear. That's his.
Exactly. I agree. I didn't try to give advice on that or anything.
Good. Then you just say thank you for that. Just appreciate he shared that with you. Yeah.
Exactly. However, he still hasn't made any plans to introduce us. So I'm feeling like we're still we've been talking about when we want to be intimate.
Okay. And
I'm feeling uncomfortable in that he still hasn't made any effort to introduce me to his sister, even like not even his parents. I haven't said anything to him at all, but I was curious what your thoughts are.
You'll do it when he's ready, and you're not getting engaged till the end of the year, and it's only May, so he may wait until October. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I suppose it doesn't matter when he does it. Yeah.
And remember, relationships are a risk. You keep your commitment and hope to God he keeps his.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I kind of thought, oh my God, what if I...
I'm not telling you how to be intimate, but you may be intimate in June, July, August. And then you might be anxious that he hasn't introduced you, but... He'll introduce you to his family when he's ready as well. We can't set the whole stage for the whole relationship.
Okay.
So I can't tell you whether have intimacy. Okay. That has to be between you, whether you're comfortable. But I do remember Dr. Allen says, don't trust anybody, but watch their trustworthy record. I hear he communicates good, and he pretty much keeps his word. So that's what you want to go by.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That's true. He does keep his commitments when he makes them.
Yes. If he says one thing and does the other, you're going, he's starting to show a pattern of not being trustworthy. And that's what we look at, because as Dr. Pat says, don't trust anybody. Watch their trustworthy record. Because anybody, he might, decide December 31st, he doesn't want to get married. There's all, people back out all the time. But you did your part. And you learned a lesson how to communicate and get this far.
Okay, yeah, that's really reassuring. I think I was getting into my head a lot about it.
Yeah, you wanted definite. You wanted it all running in a sequence that you were comfortable. But I hear he's a good negotiator, and you're a good negotiator. Andy, give me your he's a man. Let's see his input on this. What do you think, Andy?
I'm reading a part of the book on staying married and loving it. And one of the part of the paragraph is learn to trust yourself by taking risks and let him build a trustworthy record that can relax your fears of abandonment and rejection. Taking a chance on him and watching his trustworthiness over time will help you have faith in your ability to love and be vulnerable to him, which will help him to cherish you more each day.
That's reassuring.
Yeah, that's really good. Thank you.
Are you planning to have children as well? Is that brought up in the talk as well?
Yes. We both do, and although we want to, it's not really in the immediate plans. It's more
okay. Plus here. So you both do want children. You're compatible on you're moving forward.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. I remember you collared, but you were kind of getting anxious. Yeah.
Yes, I'm glad I did before I made any moves. I always do. Yeah.
That's great. So. Well, we'll be excited to hear from you either in December, January, or February. You got the engagement ring.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Sue.
Thank you, caller.
Can I add something?
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. I don't know. Hello? Yeah. Are you still on, caller? Oh.
That's okay. She can hear that.
Yeah. You may listen again. Tell us what you were going to say. She may go in and listen. Go ahead, Andy. What were you going to tell her?
I just want to read one paragraph. If the trustworthiness is broken and respect and cherishing are lost, one of two decisions must be made. Ask yourself whether the break is so bad you cannot accept it, but must leave or get sick staying, or whether you can accept this breach, even though you don't approve, and build a new trustworthiness record that can, one day, earn back your respect and your cherishing for your partner. Love is acceptance. Liking is approval. You don't need to approve and like what you accept and love.
That's a good, and that's from the book, Staying Married and Loving It?
Yep.
that book, unfortunately, it's hard to find. You may find a couple of copies on Amazon. It's out of print. We're working on seeing if we can get it back in reprint. But that's a great statement, paragraphs for this situation. A lot of times he did something to break trust, and the women actually hold a grudge, which, you know, they can if they can't get over it. But sometimes, you know, they're thinking, how, you know, I can't trust him anymore. Why do I want to stay? And your second statement, what does it say about that?
It says, build a new trustworthy record that can one day earn back your respect and your cherishing for your partner. Love is accepting, liking is approval. You don't need to approve and like what you accept and love. Mm-hmm. So this is on page 154 under Can You Ever Trust Him Again? I found this book to be awesome.
I'll have to look for it. I don't know where my copy is, but that's something new, because I get a lot of women that the guy did something and he lied to them, and they're thinking, I think more of their ego, as their girlfriends know, how can I ever go back with him? He lied. Now I can't face my girlfriends. It's a preference, and they want me to make the decision, and I do not tell them how to run their life, because I don't want them to, you know, they've got to decide what they want to do, because that's the lesson they have to learn. They may have to take a couple more rounds till they learn the lesson, and that's okay.
and everybody makes mistakes too, like this.
Everybody does, yes.
This is a two-way street. The other person's learned to trust you.
Yeah.
You're learning to trust them. And maybe they lie because they need to save face in their family. I don't know. It's still unacceptable for the most part.
But
if they're 51% valuable, then you can regain trust over time.
That's true. A lot of the women, they listen to and I tell them, please don't listen to your girlfriends. You know, the girlfriends say, oh, you need to dump him. He, you know, he lied to you. He did this. He was over there. He, you know, and that is the worst mistake. Live your life and you learn the lessons, not what somebody else tells you what you should do. Remember, Dr. Allen, don't should on me. Don't listen to other people's should. It will never get you what you want in life. You'll be following these people around doing it their way.
Yeah, and their way sucks.
Well, they just don't want you in pain, so they want you to get over it. But that's not helping you, because you'll repeat the pattern with the next one. You won't be able to learn the lesson because somebody else taught you to just move on. You have to be ready. And, you know, there's sometimes, you know, I tell the women, hey, you know, you may not be done with this guy yet. And you may have to take a couple more rounds of losing a couple more $1,000 or whatever till, you know, and they get it. They start laughing, you know.
Yeah, and these are our boundaries, and that's how we heal. We heal through our boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, they tell me these stories about how, you know, these women give these men all this money and they're guiltifying them. And I listen, I say, I'm sorry to hear that. And she goes, well, should I leave him? I go, well, if you're not happy, that may be a consideration, but you'll know when you're ready to leave. And then one caller said, well, when I threatened to leave, he started cutting himself. Now, what would you say to that? I said, that's him guiltifying you to mother him. And she started laughing. I mean, this was a really serious case where this lady felt she couldn't leave him because he would hurt himself. So she stayed longer than she should have. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty unfortunate.
Yeah, I said, well, if this is how it is now, and it's been a couple years, think how it's going to be later.
Yeah, those things don't get better with time. That's ridiculous.
I said, this is not looking good, but you may need to take a couple more rounds. And the next week, she broke it off with him. But he's still trying to guiltify her, which is, you know, but she's comfortable. Nobody told her what she should do. Because yeah, most people, when you tell them what you should do, they fight you too. Because they're not ready to leave yet. They don't, you know, they want help, but they don't always want your help. Yeah. They want just the ear to vent too. So
that was $100. Sorry, I was just looking at the other paragraph.
Uh-huh.
It says that working together in therapy is best. When things come apart, is the stick-to-itiveness that demonstrates our commitment to self. He is not worth keeping a commitment to. I am. If I want to love myself, decide the risk factor of another slip, then decide if you have enough loving faith in yourself to handle it. If yes, rebuild. If not, don't.
That's true. And what is the one thing Dr. Ellen talks about? Don't leave until you have empathy. If you're still angry or you're still working, that means it's not over with. You have to leave with empathy. That, you know. And what would that look like? Andy, tell us about how, leaving with empathy.
Yeah, I recall her saying leave bored. Empathy and empathy. Know what they want and don't want anymore.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you know what they, who they are, what they want, and you don't want anymore. And yeah, if you're angry, you're not done.
Yes. So when I hear the, and what would, you know, when I tell people they feel shameful that they put up with this bad behavior all the time, and, you know, they kind of beat themselves up over it. They feel bad about it. What would you tell a woman when she participated in bad behavior longer than she now feels she should have? And so she'd beat, actually she's mad at herself rather than the man that did this to her.
I'd call it a temporary setback.
Oh, that's a good point. I usually tell them it's a lesson they needed to learn. Be thankful they learned it now rather than have to learn it 5 years later, wasted all this other time.
Yeah, I mean, just because you messed up once or twice or, you know, 72 times.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that you're messed up. It just means you're still learning.
Yes. And we always say you're learning, a lot of the women, what do you mean I'm learning the lesson? Hopefully if it's painful enough, you'll not do it. The next guy, you'll see the red flag sooner because it was so painful and you're not angry. And when you learn the lesson, if you learn the lesson, you're not carrying it over to the next relationship. Because if you're mad with this guy for him hurting you, you're going to have that guarded with the next guy. And he's going to get the anger that you got from the first guy you didn't finish. So it's important to learn the lesson and move on with the past relationship before you start a new one, because he'll get the roughed in of you not being over the other one.
Yeah, and that just sabotages the new relationship.
It's a hard one because a lot of women go, well, in my last relationship, he did this and this and this, and I don't want this to happen with this guy. How do I know he won't do it? No, I can't give you that information. Hopefully you'll watch and see how you feel with him and see how you communicate and see if you're compatible. And if he cherishes your feelings, and that's another thing. Most of the women go, well, he's not cherishing my feelings. And I say, well, what's he not? Well, he's not asking me what I want to do, or he's, you know, I want to do this and he does that. Men will cherish you their way. You don't get to ask for him to cherish you your way. He'll cherish you his way. If it's not enough, then he may not be your man. Give me an example of that, Andy. You know how women, you remember in Dr. Pat's seminar, they always go, well, he's not cherishing me. And she goes, what do you mean? And they said, well, he's not asking me, he's not giving me money to buy things and blah, 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 blah. What does she say?
I'm trying to remember.
I always remember her saying, he's cherishing you his way. If it's not enough, he's not your man. Now, he may cherish you with gifts. He may cherish you with making sure you're taken care of, you know, happy. You know, there's different love languages. A lot of women think cherishes means they get a free slate to whatever they want. And if he doesn't do it, he's not cherishing them.
Yeah, I'm trying to, because cherishing feelings with money is not, doesn't seem like cherishing. Yeah.
Well, the women will go, well, okay, cherishing is that they have a list of all what they want from a man. So, you know, well, he's supposed to cherish my feelings. And he's going to meet his guys over, taking me out to dinner and stuff every Friday night. And he may take her out Saturday night, but she wants Friday and Saturday. So that's part of he'll cherish you his way. And if it's, you know, if it's not enough, we don't get to trump him and say, you're not cherishing me. You have to do it this way. Does that make sense? I get a lot of people saying, well, he's not cherishing me. Am I explaining this correctly, or are you lost too?
Sometimes I get confused. Sometimes I overthink it.
Okay. In women's, you know, Dr. Pellant says, you know, men are supposed to give, protect, and cherish. So you got that giving part. And they see that as, you know, giving, you know, money, gifts, and all that. And then you got the cherishing part, where if she's in a bad mood, he's supposed to sweep in there and fix it every time. Or if she's having a problem, he's supposed to fix it. And, you know, he's supposed to do everything this certain way that they see. You know, it's kind of like entitlement. And some men are not going to give you everything you want. They'll give you what they are comfortable giving you. You should say it still. I hope the audience understands that. Women, you can't ask for more, better, or different. So if the man isn't cherishing you the way you want to be cherished, we don't ask for more, better, or different.
Yeah, I was looking at like the book. What am I looking at? Man's World, Woman's Universe.
Okay.
And I was just looking at a sentence in the ideal female, male-female relationship. Her man seeks out and cherishes her feeling in a loving, giving way. Actively, she responds to him out of respect for his skills in thinking and doing. Since she is in a power position, it is tantamount on the part of the woman to initiate the flow of energy by first respecting the man she has chosen to pledge her life to.
Yes.
In sum, an authentic smart woman respects her man's brains, while an authentic smart man then cherishes a woman's feelings. Together, they negotiate to design a life, that may include the woman either staying at home or going to work. Whatever the decision, they remember to honor their unique individual priorities as man and woman in their personal relationship.
That's a good way to present it as well. Yeah. It's just a lot of times they use the word, he's not cherishing me. And, it, you know, they have their own list of what they want cherished. And he may not, the two cherishing, his idea isn't the same as hers. That would be a little bit of incompatibility.
Yeah.
And they want me to teach him how to teach him how to cherish them more different. And I go, I can't do that, dear. I don't have a magic wand. We don't ask for more, better, or different. Whatever he's giving you, you know, if it's not enough, he's probably not your man.
Yeah, hopefully it is enough, but enough is a whole different discussion on.
Yeah, enough. Yeah. Well, you know, you can communicate it, you know, have a talk, but it's not an entitlement that he has to do this. You know, you don't lay down a ground, or you have to do this, because you're not cherishing my feelings. That's you're so a man. Yeah. I said, you're a man with this point of view. I know the ladies out there, because I get the calls all the time about he's not cherishing my feelings. He, you know, when you tell a man how you feel, they always want to come in and fix it. You know, you got to ask them, you know, are you comfortable just listening? You don't have to fix it, because men will want to come in and fix it. And the women go, I didn't ask him to fix it. I just want to dump. So you have to specify whether you want him to fix it or have a solution or to just listen. That's another one, because men want to fix things. They're fixers. So let me, hopefully we'll get another caller, 323-203-0815. Are there any topics you want to go over, Andy?
Well, I was just reading another paragraph on this topic. When a masculine energy man cherishes a feminine energy woman, he'll like giving more to her.
Uh-huh.
He'll feel secure in knowing that she needs him and won't leave him.
Yes.
He'll like being her protector and caring for her. She will in turn feel secure and therefore respectful and loving toward him, as he feels loving toward her. For a woman to be loved is to be accepted. To cherish a feminine energy woman, despite her behaving badly, is the ultimate gift from a masculine energy man.
Okay.
He's with her on her painful energy, painful journey, even though there's little or nothing for him at the moment. But his reward will come later when an appreciation of the feminine energy partner gives respect multiplied tenfold.
Uh-huh.
So accept leadership and work for team goals and give pleasure by safely opening up to him emotionally and sexually.
Okay. So
I wonder if part of that is not opening up to.
Probably because if a lot of people do, well, Dr. Allen talks about the archetypes, you know, the gold digger. So gold diggers want to take. So they want everything their way. So I think I'm going more with, I'm talking about the gold digger. They want more, better, different from men. And they label it as cherish. He's not cherishing me enough, but really it's on the edge of a gold digger. More.
Yeah. If it doesn't go both ways, he's going to pull back.
Yes. So there's, you know, and you, what is she called? The anchor woman, where she knows when it's enough.
Yeah.
The Wendy Peter Pan one is when she overgives. So we all give us the example. So maybe the audience knows where they fit in. Do you have any examples of the three archetypes?
I'm looking it up right now.
I can briefly tell you, okay, the Dr. Pat talks about the gold digger. You know, she's usually very pretty and she's on his arm, the trophy wife, but he has to pay a high price to be with her, but she always wants more. And then you've got the anchor. She's grounded. She knows how to say no. She knows what she wants and she knows what she doesn't want. Then you have the Wendy. She'll take care of all the boys over better than herself. And then you tell me the archetypes for the men. Isn't there the macho, the gentleman, and the Peter Pan? And also there's the monk too.
Yeah, I was going to look at in the book, Staying Married and Loving Again.
Okay.
According to Jung, at the core of a woman resides a masculine energy called the animus.
Yeah.
This energy we see can be used as an anchor, a claw, or a shovel of love. A woman who is an anchor says no to whatever doesn't feel good to her and requires information to help her say yes comfortably. A claw woman uses her youth, beauty, money, power, and prestige to use and abuse the men in her life. A claw woman may have been raised by her daddy to be spoiled by men. No limits were set for her. She's selfish and takes what she wants without equity. A claw woman drains her loved ones until they die or leave. She's a perpetual little child, not a wife or a mother. A claw woman thrives only as long as she maintains her assets. When they go with age, she usually ends up being a pathetic shovel trying to get love by spoiling men. A woman who's a shovel of love says yes to whatever her loved ones request, no matter her doubts, and invites her spoiled man and children to use and abuse her. A shovel woman is a perpetual giving mother who hopes that someday her loved ones will reward her for giving up her life, but they never do. It's healthy to be an anchor woman who causes pain by saying no to loved ones, especially men, because you hurt yourself by saying yes too much. Saying no helps her man learn to share love. An anchor woman can inspire her man to be more generous, more protective, and more cherishing by requiring him to do it or lose her love. And then here's one more thing.
Okay.
Many masculine men test their wives by seeing if they will mother them physically.
Uh-huh.
What they really need is a woman who won't love them like a giving mother, but rather as a self-centered receiving female. Women who mother their husbands eventually either drive them away or subdue them until they cannot stand alone.
Yes. Okay. That's good. What book was that from?
Still Staying Married and Loving It.
Oh, wow. Is that, I wonder, is that in the Getting to I Do book?
There's a little bit in there.
Okay.
But not as much as this. I like this for this part better.
Oh, yeah, that is a good interpretation. Gosh. That's great.
And then it goes into being a Peter Pan.
Does it, yeah, can you go through the male roles so women know what not to look for in a man?
I will at least continue with this.
Okay.
Motherhood should end when a woman's son is around 10 years old. At that point, she should switch back to being self-centered. If she continues mothering her boy, he'll never become a generous, protective, cherishing man. Instead, he'll remain a puer eternus, a Peter Pan, a narcissistic little boy who hasn't grown into healthy manhood. He will not have the ability to love, protect, cherish, and he won't give back or assume responsibility. He'll marry a shovel woman and request more, better, and different services as long as she doesn't anchor herself in self-centered love. He'll demand that his wife and daughter serve him and his sons. Only a Peter Pan type man expects his woman to take better care of him than of herself. For those immature little boy men, giving to a woman first is unthinkable. He wants her to give to him as his mom gave to his dad. Mommy gives to you because mommy loves you better than herself. She would do anything for you. And beware, once you start giving to Peter Pan, he will not let you stop.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That was what my lady had a Peter Pan, and he wouldn't let her go.
Yeah, that's right there in the book.
Okay. Hey, I just found out there's some book. You can just Google Staying Married and Loving It, and there's a lot of thrift stores that have it for sale. So that may, if somebody wants to buy that. I know Amazon sometimes are very pricey, but just Google Staying Married and Loving It, and you have a lot of other thrift stores that have it for sale. If anybody's out there listening and they want a copy, that's a great book. So yeah. We've got a couple more minutes, and we thank the caller. And Andy, I want to thank you, and you'll be back in 2 weeks to talk with us again.
I will.
Okay. And I want to thank all the callers and the caller that called in. Thank all the listeners for listening. And if you want us to talk about any topics that interest you, please feel free to email me at info@drpatallen.com. And we will rally and talk the best we know on how to talk on certain subjects. And we always love callers calling in to work one-on-one. So with that, I want to thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week. Thank you, Andy, for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, callers.
Thank you.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.